All right, so if you have your Bibles, open them up. We are going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we come to this part of Scripture where Paul, really God teaching through Paul's pen, God's going to be telling us, Paul was the person behind the pen, about spiritual gifts. So again, if you have your handout, please break it on out. You can use it for taking notes. Even if you don't, I want to put something in your hand physically. Why? Because, God willing, then you can be, not like the church at Corinth, we need to learn, we don't want to be ignorant about the gifts. Amen? That means we need to know about the gifts and of spiritual matters. All right, so we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Please stand with me if you are able to. First Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick up at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. At verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." Verse 3, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, open up our understanding of your holy word. Lord, you don't want us to be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts or spiritual matters. But God, we need your Spirit to help us to interpret these things. So speak to us, help us, send the helper, the comforter, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. Thank you. Max Lucado once wrote this: "You aren't an accident. You weren't mass-produced. You aren't an assembly line product. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by the master craftsman." I love that quote. Max L. Lucado. Some of you guys probably heard of him before. Great, great teacher. And he's right. Because here's what it says about you being specifically gifted, and we're going to talk about calling. God has a calling on your life. First off, let me just say at this junction, do you know that God has a calling on your life? Every born-again Christian, how do you know? Good question. Let me help answer that. Not with my opinion, but with what God says. Ephesians 2, verse 10, as you see on the screen, "For we are his workmanship." This is the Greek word poema. Poem. Poetry. You are his poetry. You're his poem. Another translation might say masterpiece. You're his work of art. Now, you may not feel like that. Anybody feel like you're God's work of art? Like you should be set up in the museum? But this is what this word is speaking of. A poem is, let's say, an expression of the author, of the poet. He wants to express himself through you. The Greek word is poema, poem. We are his poem, translated here in your Bibles on the screen as workmanship. God's doing this work. It goes on to say, "created in Christ Jesus for good works." God, now that I'm saved, what's the purpose? Well, he's got a plan for your life. You probably heard that before. You're created in Christ Jesus. This doesn't speak about the fact that you were born, but the fact that you were born again. Amen? Why did you get me saved? Is it just to save me from the fires of hell and throw me into heaven? No. You've got something to do while you're alive here. And the devil ain't wanting you to know that. Your flesh doesn't want you to know that. But the Spirit of God that comes within every born-again child of God is preaching that to your heart nonstop. Is he not? He is, isn't he? Here's how ubiquitous that is, how all-encompassing it is for the entire body of Christ, for the true born-again Christian. How many of you can attest to the fact that God is speaking to you and has been, that he's got some kind of calling on your life? He wants you to do something with your life. Raise your hand if you would. Raise it high. And look around the room if you would. You might feel like, oh, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm weird. No, you're not weird. You might be weird. We're all kind of weird if you think about it. We're different from each other, and that's okay. It's the body of Christ. But once God comes to live within you, once you are created in Christ Jesus, what's the purpose? It says, for good works. And you know that. If you're a Christian, he lives within you, and you're no longer living for the world. He has changed you. He doesn't want you to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12. And remember that chapter? About a year ago, we went through Romans 12, another chapter about the spiritual gifts. And what is he trying to transform our minds to think about now, now that we're in this new family, that he's got something for you to do? Every Christian has a calling within the body of Christ, within the church. And if God's called you to be here in this church, he's got some kind of calling for you. I don't know what that is. He might reveal it to me, but he wants you to discover and do that. Amen? He wants you to walk in that. Don't let the devil or anybody get in the way of that. Because that's the reason why, Christian, that you are alive right now. Ephesians 2 verse 10, why did he save you? Yes, he saved you from the fires of hell. Yes, Jesus paid for your sins. Yes, when you die, you get to spend eternity with him in heaven. But if you spend 50 years on this planet doing nothing with your life, so what? There's a lot of other Christians. He wants you to be an example, and he wants you to either help somehow in the Great Commission. Maybe it's to help win souls. Maybe it's to make disciples. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. That's what we're attempting to do here today. And we don't want to just fast forward through chapter 12. Pray for me, if you would, because today is kind of an overview, let me just say an introduction to this topic now. As we get to this 16-chapter book that you and I call 1 Corinthians, this is, let's just say, one of the bigger topics, one of the bigger themes in this book. It's going to cover three chapters. It's not like that with many other places or topics in the Bible. So three chapters God spends teaching about spiritual gifts. And we'll get into that slowly as we unveil that, as we peel that through. Creating Christ Jesus for good works. So God has a calling on your life. Once you are a born-again Christian, it's not to live for your career. It's not to seek and run after the American dream. You got to die to that dream. And I'd rather be telling you now. I'd rather be like the doctor that tells you exactly what you need to know and not just some charlatan or false prophet that'll tell you what you want to hear. We need to tell you what you need to know. Amen? And what is that? That you're not to live for your own comfort. The Holy Spirit will give you comfort. Isn't he the comforter? But he'll comfort you not to live in sin and not to live life for the American dream. As we call the American dream, what is that? Well, many of us have this romanticized picture of like a big house with a big yard and the white picket fence. Why is it that we know that? It's so all-encompassing, right, in America. And by the way, we might say once you become a Christian, the American dream, it's a nightmare, isn't it? Because if that's all you're about, you spend all your time, all your talent, all your treasure chasing the American dream, guess what I know about you? And well, you probably aren't. Probably not born again. Because if nothing's changed on the outside, most likely nothing's changed on the inside. Nothing born again. Physically born, but not spiritually born. You need a second birth, the rebirth. You need to be born again. And that means that you and I cannot any longer live for our career. I had to throw that in the dump. And I was counseled by some friends. Oh, I love how guys could just speak to guys. And if you guys know, you guys could just like spit it to you straight, right? So I had some brothers tell me, yeah, you know, whatever your dreams are, those goals, those aspirations, those desires, throw it away. Let it die. what? I spent a lot of time, a lot of money on this. Well, if it's of God and you let it die, what will he do if it's of God? He'll resurrect it. So if you let it die and it stay dead, guess what you know about the will of God? It wasn't God's will. If it wasn't God's will, whose will was it? Your will is one and the same, according to the Bible, as whose will? The devil's. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of Christians are actually caught up in the American dream. I want to work hard for the American dream. I want that big house with a big yard with the white picket fence. And once you chase that, once you get that, guess what you don't have? Contentment in Christ. You still have a calling on your life. And I need to be a preacher of truth. I need to tell you what you want to know. Many of you are praying, God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know your will. What's your call for my life? What's the reason why I still exist? I've been a Christian for X amount of time, for these years. Why am I still here? Why don't you just kill me and take me home? I prayed that. I'm like, why am I still here? He had his calling on my life. And he's got his calling on your life. Ephesians 2, verse 10, you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And check out the third part of verse 10, which God prepared beforehand. Your calling was created by God before planet Earth was created. You need to know that. So according to the Jews, who have pretty much a better timeline than the billions and billions of years. No, about 6,000 years on our timeline. So on our timeline, God's been waiting about 6,000 years for you to answer your call. Imagine a phone ringing. Ring, ring, for 6,000 years. Would someone please pick up that phone? It gets annoying, right? That's like the call of God, the Spirit of God, who lives within the child of God. If you're born again, you're hearing that. If you're not hearing that, repent from your sins, receive Christ Jesus as your Savior, turn from your sins. He'll give you a new life, a new beginning. It's in Christ. That's why you're not hearing that call. And once you get saved, how many of you know, you start hearing that call? Oh boy, who is that? Raise your hand if that's you. And look around the room. Raise your hand. I knew for some time, and I was denying it. I was trying to run and hide. And it wasn't until others counseled me and told me these kind of things that God is wanting to speak to you. God has a calling on your life, and you need to hear this. So my prayer, even for today, and God willing for this series on Sundays, pray for us as we go through this, is that God would bring in the people that need to hear this. So God prepared your calling beforehand, before planet Earth, before your mom and dad got together. We're not going to show any video or any slides on that. Before you were conceived, God had a plan for you. And what is it that you would answer that call for good works? What is it? I don't know. But you know, once you're saved, he's preaching that constantly to your heart. Some of you can't sleep. Some of you maybe you're going to churches where they're not teaching you the Bible. Not teaching you God's word, it's all about living for self and worshiping money and living for your best life now and building the American dream. And even if you've got that American dream, you realize that's a nightmare. Jesus died for that. That's called sin. And that's worshiping and following Satan instead of following and worshiping the Savior. And that's why God brought you in here, so that you can learn God's word. Not my word, but God's word. So Christian, if you and I never discover our spiritual gifts and never walk in a fruitful calling, Mark chapter 4, 1 through 20, Jesus taught a parable of four soils. Which soil is the fruitful soil? Four soil. That's the one that answers the call of God. Which soil is the one that's caught up, not applying the word, but caught up in the world? The third soil. Do you know there's a lot of Christians in America that call themselves Christ followers? They claim the name of Christ, but yet are only third soil. Zero fruit. Zero lasting fruit. They're not even sure if they're saved. Because why? They don't see any fruit, and nor can anybody else. That's third soil. If that's you, I would encourage you to repent. and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to the work of His Spirit. And that's why we need to come together. We can help each other. So the third soil is like a dead and barren fruit tree. That's the picture he gives. It's a fruit, like a fruit tree. Fruitfulness. The fourth soil, some bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And we don't want to compare numbers, but it's like a fruitful tree. And what does a fruitful tree do? Produces other trees. Not hard for an orange tree to figure out they're an orange tree when they're an orange tree making other orange trees. So how do you know you're a Christian? Make disciples. Be a disciple, be a follower of Christ, and help make other followers of Christ. Make sense? That's what we're about here. So with God, if we spend most of our time, most of our talent, and all of our treasure on these elusive dreams, we're actually living for self instead of living for the Savior. And again, that's according to the Bible, that's one and the same as worshiping self, but actually worshiping who? The devil, Satan, not the Savior. So as Christians, we need to live according to His word and not according to the world. I love that. You change one letter, add an L, and that Christian is no longer following the word, they're following the world. Okay? We got to be careful. So in order for you and I to embrace God's calling, you can't merge. And some of us try to do this. My guess is some of you might be trying to do this. You're trying to merge God's calling with your dreams. It ain't going to work. They're like oil and water. They don't mix. In fact, you're never going to discover, really, or walk in God's calling, His purpose, His plan for your life, if you're still chasing that elusive American dream. That's the Christian even that's, even in the world, you'll hear people say, oh, that's that person, they got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You can't live for both, right? You can't serve God and mammon. Only one. So you have to die to your own selfish dreams, and someone needs to tell you. If I don't tell you, who will? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to preach that to you since you got saved. You got to die to your own selfish dreams so that God can resurrect you, that now you would live for God and God alone. The whole Bible preaches that. I don't care. You can stone me. You can kill me. Cut me. Shoot me. I'm going to stand on God's word. God's word lives and stands forever. Amen? This is what the Bible preaches. In the next book, before we get there, give you a little precursor of the road ahead. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 5, verse 15. Oh, we love quoting these verses. But here's what it says in verse 15 and on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he, speaking of Jesus, died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17, this is a really beloved Christian memory verse. We love quoting it. It's a meme. We put it on pictures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Will you allow God to make all things new with you? Then according to this, and according to what the whole Bible preaches, you got to die to whatever you called your goal. Yo, but I spent a lot of money. But that's a lot of education. But wow, that degree, that's the pride of my life. My mom's, she loved that. But what about your Father in heaven? He doesn't care. That might be a work of self, of the flesh. And guess who gets the credit for that? You, not God. So you're to live for God's glory. Let's go back to Ephesians 2, verse 10. God prepared your calling beforehand, and he's waiting for you to walk in it. Someone here needs to hear that. Maybe online, maybe you guys here on site. Someone here needs to know that, needs to hear that. That God's waiting for you to walk in your calling. And if I could say so, that's why God brought you in today. That's why you're here. That's who I'm praying for. I don't care that we have a whole bunch of people here. We do. I care that God brings the right people in that need to hear this. Because you might have been me going around for years and wanting to be a disciple, wanting to hear God's word taught to you so that you could answer this calling. Let's continue on. So as we come to this now, this next section in this book, this is now, this section is three chapters long. Three chapters. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 are about the spiritual gifts. And as we come to this next section in this book that we call 1 Corinthians, we're now learning about one of the most beloved topics in the Bible. Can we put on the AC? Are you guys warm? It's kind of, no. The one that's always exercising says, yeah. Some are cold. Okay. All right. You know, I'm going to just take off my jacket. So as we come to this book, though, we need to know that, yes, it might be one of the most loved topics, but it's also one of the most controversial topics. This topic of the gifts of the Spirit, this is one of those crazy things within the body of Christ where, just like how Paul's writing, look at this in verse 12, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. This is not Paul saying this, this is really God saying this through Paul's pen, and it applies to you and I today. That the topic of the gifts of the Spirit, there's not just an ignorance back then in Corinth, there's a great ignorance today in the body of Christ, isn't there? And there's no other topic, it seems, other than the gifts of the Spirit that seems to separate denominations and abominations. There's so many people in churches that are split simply because of this topic. So when God's telling us that, hey, there's an ignorance for this, I want to make sure that we're not unknowing, that we're in the know. But as you and I go through 1 Corinthians, check this out. Again, we're going to find this topic in the next three chapters, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. When you look at this one word, the original Greek language was what Paul wrote this in, or at least what we have here today. And he opens up chapter 12 by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, is the Greek word. And I put it on the screen here. I just did a screen capture of my Bible study software. The Greek word agnoeo. Anybody hear that term agnostic? Next time someone tells you, oh, I'm not a believer, I'm agnostic. You know what they're saying? I'm ignorant. Oh, I'm not a believer, I'm ignorant. You're not going to say that prideful, are you? That's what the word is saying. That's what agnostic is. So this word agnoeo, regarding spiritual gifts, God doesn't want us to be agnoeo. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. And when you look at this, chapter 12 opens with this word, and chapter 14 closes with this word. They're like bookends here. So when we realize chapter 14, which God willing we'll get to sometime soon, hopefully, at the end of chapter 14, and I have it on the screen capture here, or on the screen, on the display, he says, after teaching chapter 12, here's what the gifts are about. Here's some of the listing of the gifts. And by the way, you have a lot of the listings here, literally. I didn't make these up. These are lifted right from the pages of Scripture, according to what God delineates and calls a gift. Chapter 13 is a greater gift. What is that? Oh, come on, guys. Love. Agape love. Chapter 14, he's going to show us how they should be exercised within the church. The only chapter that shows spiritual gifts in a, let's say, a church service. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's the only chapter in the entire Bible. The biggest portion of Scripture teaching about spiritual gifts. And then he closes chapter 14. Hey, look, if you're going to be ignorant, stay ignorant. That's what it's saying here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38. But if anyone's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. If you're going to remain ignorant, just stay ignorant. And then he moves on. It's almost comical when you read that, right? Look at it. It's in your Bible. And you could blue letter Bible. You could look up the original Greek language before it was translated into English. That's there. So as we go through this, again, today's more of an introduction to this. Hey, what God is saying to Paul, to the church at Corinth, don't be ignorant. My guess is God is saying that to his church here as well. To you, to me. Even me, Drew, don't be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. Now look at this in verse 1. Let's get back to this. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual, notice, and I'm teaching out of the New King James Version Bible. This is our official teaching, preaching translation of the Bible. Notice that word gifts. Do you notice that it's in italics? Look at it in your Bible. Now, when the translators of the New King James Version Bible, or even the King James Version, the ESV, the NIV, NLT, all these different translations of the Bible, when they put this word here, at least in our New King James Version Bible, in italics, that lets you know in the original language, the word is not there. However, contextually, so that the flow of the text makes sense, they put it in there. That's why it's in italics. So here's what it's saying. Now, concerning spirituality, spiritual matters, spiritual things, God doesn't want you to be ignorant. And then chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 go on to list the gifts and mention. So the translators are letting you know it wasn't there in the original language. But the flow of the text, it helps with the flow. That's why they put the word there. Spiritual gifts. But concerning spiritual matters, not just spiritual gifts, God wants us to not be ignorant. What's the antithetical opposite of being ignorant? Informed. Knowledgeable. So he doesn't want you to not know. He wants you to know. So God wants you and I to be knowledgeable about spiritual gifts. Myself as well. He wants me to know. I need to study. I need to see what he has to say. Not just for you, but for me. And also because God is my God. Jesus is my Lord. And he's one that wrote this and he's telling me. Commanding, demanding, expecting that I would know about these gifts. I have my Bible. We have our Bibles. We need to know what he has to say. And on the personal level, the individual level, specifically, you need to know what gifts he's given to you. Most of you have been praying, God, I want to hear your voice. God, use my life. God, what's your calling on my life? What's your purpose for me? Why am I still here? Or if you pray like how I did when I was younger, why don't you just kill me and take me home? Why am I still here? You know, the closer you get to God, the more you realize this world is full of pain and death and suffering. And the closer you get to God, you're going to see that more and more. The selfish solution isn't just kill me and take me home. No. He wants to do something about it. That's why he got you saved. You're created in Christ Jesus for... Okay, it's better. Let's try again. You're created in Christ Jesus for...
Good works.
So what are those good works? Pray. Seek the Lord. Do something about it. Sign up to serve here. Get to know one another. Because each of us has a calling within the body of Christ. I see some of you. As you just blossom. Like my sister here. Joy. I see joy just come out. Like, wow, that's so cool. To see what God's doing in your life. And so many of us. But if we're just staying closed and not pouring out to the Lord, for the Lord, you know, to the other people, we're never going to walk in that. Right? We want these things. Don't we want like his love, his joy, his peace? Man, you got to come to Jesus when you're thirsty. You come to him. And what does he say in John chapter 7? He who believes in me, we believe in Jesus, right? As Messiah, as the one that all scripture points to. Believe in me, as scripture has said. The whole Bible points to Jesus. You're thirsty, come to him. And then what? Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. He promises that. So in the world, as others may not know this God that you know, you can't see this God who's invisible. You can't hear from this God that doesn't speak. Like, I wish sometimes that he would, you know, manifest himself like the burning bush or Daniel on the wall. Many, many tekeu ufarsin. But that, by the way, that was not a good message. But we might want these kind of things. But how about instead of a burning bush, a burning heart? Whereas you're reading his word. It's a living, active word, and you know he's preaching it to your heart, and he's alive here and now today, living within us, right? So he's wanting you to get to know him. So God wants you and I to be knowledgeable about spiritual gifts and not to be ignorant. So as you and I move forward in this, and I'm just calling this a mini-series on spiritual gifts. Today's part one. As we go through this, remember that God wants you and I to be knowledgeable about spiritual gifts. I encourage you, keep coming every Sunday. Why? So we can pray for you. You could ask questions. You can have a list like this, and we'll go through this. And unless you see and know what they are, you may not know what to pray for. You might already be walking in these things, ripping off God's glory, because maybe he's empowered you, and it's just like living water flowing through you. And you don't know it's a work of the Spirit. But you need to give praise, honor, and glory to God, and not be ignorant of these things. Let's continue on. Look at this in verse 2. Paul writes, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols." Now, I gotta say, this is not dumb like, oh, look at that dumb thing. Yes, they were dumb idols, but dumb. What's he saying? Now, man creates a god lesser than himself. You and I created the image and likeness of God, amen? But when mankind creates a statue, a god, an idol, and wants to worship it, you're gonna create it like you, but lesser than you. So you got a head, so guess what you're going to make on your god, your statue. Don't do this, but this happens all the time. You're going to put your statue, your idol, your god with a head. But it's just a rock or a piece of metal. It's dumb. In other words, it has a head, but it don't got what? It doesn't have a brain. It can't think. It's just dumb. It can't give you any wisdom in life. The statues were dumb. They couldn't think. The idols, they would also have ears. Why would you create a god, a statue, an idol with ears? Because you want a god that's going to hear things. But their statues, they're dumb. They had physical ears, but they couldn't hear. And the statues were dumb. They couldn't hear. Their idols, their statues, their gods had mouths. But guess what about that mouth? It's fake. They wanted these gods to speak to them, but the mouth couldn't work. The statues were dumb. They couldn't speak. The idols also had eyes. Why? Because they want a god to see into the future. But they're fashioning with their hands. I got eyes. Let me make this guy. Oh, I want big eyes because this god sees way into the future. But it was dumb. It couldn't speak. It couldn't see. This is what he's saying. Couldn't hear. And isn't that sad? There's people today, even wayward Christians, they'll seek something in a spiritual sense, but it's not the God of the Bible. And they're looking for something. It could be idolizing someone else and looking to that, following that person. Oh, I follow them on Instagram. I follow what they do. I follow everything. They buy this. Oh, I can't buy those shoes. It's $5,000. But I'll buy this. I'll follow that. And they're wanting some God to tell them what to do and what not to do. But yet, we've got our Bibles. Christian, ladies and gentlemen, lift up your sword. God has spoken already. It's his word. Amen? He has spoken. We need not be ignorant. We need to know. So within the context of what he's saying here, hey look, you Gentiles, you became Christians, you came into this church now called Corinth, and this includes us. Don't be like the world where we worshiped fake things. Right? It could be money. We'll become like our God. If money's your God, money's what? Cold. Calculating. Legalistic. You know how it is when you're after money? Where's my $5 you owe? Give me till next week. No! $6 next week. Why? Because that, as a God, money as a God is very cold. Right? So we'll become just like our God. But the God that you and I have is the only God. Amen? And he does want to speak to us. He does hear all things and know all things. And he's already spoken. So within the context of this, Paul is saying, hey, look, you came out of these things of idolatry in the world. Those were dumb statues, dumb idols. But hey, you've got a God. Look at the context of what we're looking at now, these spiritual gifts. You got a God that does see, does hear, does speak, will also give you wisdom and guidance. And guess how he'll do that? Yes, through his word, but also through spiritual gifts. I love the context of this. And this is what he's getting at. He's got to kill off the old past, like what God's trying to do constantly through us, as he teaches us, right? Die to that old past that you can live to the new. Just like the Corinthian Christians. So what they're doing, remember what we're doing as we're going through this book, Paul opens up the first portion, the first half, you might say, of the book, where Paul's addressing things, getting to what he wants to address with the church at Corinth. And then now, this second and last half of the book of 1 Corinthians, he's answering their questions. So what do we know about this? We know that the Corinthians would have perhaps written to him or asked somehow, hey, tell us about spiritual gifts. Why? Because what I see back in church life in Corinth is crazy, man. Is there something you can give us as wisdom or guidance? What does God want? And so this is how he's actually addressing that. Look at this again in chapter 12, verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts. So just like he's done, topic after topic, I'm answering your questions. Chapter 12, I'm now concerning your question about spiritual gifts. You see how that unpacks? And it's great to be able to see the text within the context. So this is what he's getting at now. And he's wanting us to be knowledgeable about spiritual gifts. Let's continue on. We're going to actually have to close in a little bit. So today's just an introduction. We open up to verse 3, but look at verse 4. There are, notice he says, diversities of gifts. And here's the next, and I think it's the last slide for you. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, this is typically, by the way, there are supposedly, reportedly, four different Greek words in this chapter that describe or talk about gifts of the Spirit. But this is the main one that most of us know about. Diversities of gifts. This is the word charisma. Now, when you think of charisma in the English language in America, you might think of someone like, oh, yeah, that guy, I want to vote for him. Or that gal, I want to vote for her. Why? They're real charismatic. They look good. They speak good. They answer questions. They're just really polished. They're a pro at what they do. This is not that word. It's the same English word, charisma, but it's a different usage. This word, charisma, it literally is gift of grace. And you need to know that. Do you know that while we're in the world, just like it opens up, you and I worshiped and served dumb idols. I love this in the English language. Pretty dumb, right? We worshiped. I'll just say how it was for me. I don't know about you guys. I worshiped and served dumb idols. They were dumb. And I was dumb for following a dumb idol. You become like your God. That's how I was. But now, you and I serve this God of grace. And his God of grace wants to give you gifts of grace. Think about that, Christian. Let that settle in. That the God that you now know, who loved you, that sent his only son, Jesus, the Messiah, your great high priest, who died on the cross for all your sins, this God of grace, because of his love, his grace, his mercy for you, sent his son. And your journey with Jesus, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end where, okay, I just received salvation. Okay, great. Now let's get on with what he wants for your life, right? Amen? You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you need to know, someone here needs to know, I believe, that God wants to give you or has given you gifts of grace. Gifts of grace. The root of this word charisma is the Greek word charis. You may know a girl. I met a girl, her name was Charis. I'm like, yeah, she's like, yeah, I know. She said something like, my dad was a theology professor. And I met her at American Bible Society when I worked there. And she must have got that all the time from Christians. Like, your name means grace. It does. So if you ever meet a girl named Charis, that's what that word or name means, grace. So the root of charisma, gifts of grace, is grace. Now, guys, when it comes to God's grace, can you work for it? No, you cannot work for God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith. That's Ephesians 2, verse 8. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't work for that kind of salvation, can you? All you could do is believe and receive. Amen? either believe and receive or reject. And once you're saved by this grace, guess what he wants to do? Equip you to answer your calling with his grace. He'll give you and gift you his gifts of grace. So you need to know that. You need to hear that. It's grace. There are diversities of gifts or grace, but the same Spirit. So hey, while God gives you these gifts of grace, know that spiritual gifts are all about grace. They're all about grace. You can't work for it. But God, if I fast enough, if I give enough, if I go enough, maybe you'll give me the gifts. No. It's even wound up within the context of this word. I love that. You don't have to work for it. You just receive it. And you need to just simply open up that gift. Exercise it. Amen? This is why God brought you in. So, because it's all about God's grace, we can't work for it. It's not about you giving money for it. It's not about you going on missions, about what you can do for him. It's more of what he has done and still wants to do for you. That's God's grace. You can't earn it. You can't deserve God's grace. All you could do is receive it. And you know that because once you got saved, you're like, oh, I praise you. Because God, if I died, I'd be burning in hell right now. Who here knows that? I know that about myself. And it's only by the grace of God that he saved me. But do you know that's only when your journey with him starts? That's day one. What about day two, day 100, day 1,000, day 10,000? It's all about his grace. So God will equip you with his grace to answer his calling. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. He'll equip you to answer that call. You need to know that. It's a gift of grace. So we're going to close here. And can we set up, guys, Susan, can we set up to close with worship? Is that okay? Yay. Great. But what I want to do is I want to pray for you guys. Let me move over here so you guys can set up. I want to pray if there's anybody here that wants to be prayed for, maybe it's to receive the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe it's to be prayed for that you would have boldness to walk out these gifts of grace, whatever it is regarding that, but specifically about the gifts of the Spirit. That's why God brought you in today. I'll just believe by faith. God brought you in because he wanted you to hear that he's got a calling on your life, that he's either given you gifts and you need to walk in it with his boldness that he'll give you, or that you come in and we would pray for you. Either way, I just want us to pray for you. Can we all stand, please? We're going to have some more time of worship. But if anybody wants that during our closing worship time, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And then, Josh, can we end the live stream after we close in prayer here? Okay? And then we'll continue on with some worship if anybody wants worship or wants to be prayed for. We have oil, too. I want to anoint you with oil. Oil is not the Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And we can anoint you by faith, praying for you by faith, that God would anoint you and empower you with these gifts of grace. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray while they set up. And so, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave us your holy word. You tell the church at Corinth, you don't want them to be ignorant. You even close that section, three chapters at the end. Hey, if people are going to remain ignorant, then just stay ignorant. Kind of what it looks like, Lord. But we don't want to be ignorant. We want to know the gifts because we know that the gifts that you give to us, hey, they come from you, the giver of grace. You're a God of grace. You love us. And you want us to have boldness to simply walk these things out. So we look to you, Father. Can you please, we ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, can you please pour out your Spirit? We ask for the baptism of the Spirit. Can you baptize us afresh? Give us the gifts of your Spirit, Lord, that we want. We want to know We want to know what gifting of grace that you've given each of us, God. And we know that the gifts are given to the church, and they're predominantly used for the church. And as the church gathers together, God, that's how we're going to discover. We'll know your will, and we'll be able to walk in your calling for our lives. So please help us, God. Pour out your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.